You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
This church, Gateway Church, you are a very missional church. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your giving, for your prayers, and so much more. It truly, you are with me in this, sending out to reach the nations. Thank you for sending your daughter and your son, Reagan and Josiah. Thank you for being willing to send them and for their yes. Because of their yes and yours to them, people are going to have access to Jesus. So you've heard this. In 2025, 42% of the world does not have access to the gospel. A little less than half of the world. There are groups of people who do not have a friend, a family member, a coworker, no one in their direct vicinity that has gospel knowledge or context that can share with them. They are cities full of people, but not one church building, just like this, where they can walk into and experience Jesus for the very first time. There are communities and neighborhoods filled with people, but there is not one believer. There are people all over the world who are made in the image of God, just waiting to have their light bulb moment, all because no one has gone yet to tell them, unless we do something about it, unless we simply go and tell them. And so this morning, I want to invite you into this journey with me of simply telling them, of taking the transformative power of Jesus to those who have not yet heard, here and around the world, to fulfill the greatest mission from Jesus, right? We've heard this, the Great Commission, right? Go out and make disciples of all nations. Jesus was giving this to his disciples after his death and resurrection as his final instruction. And I remember when I encountered the Great Commission for the very first time, I began to be overwhelmed. Even as a little girl, I'm pretty logical in my brain. Numbers mean something to me, right? Spreadsheets mean something. And I remember being in the Middle East for the first time and visiting my Muslim friend's village. And I was with my other friend, and we walk up, and there's this 5-story building where her and her 60 family members live. And I remember sitting and looking at the building and being like, how is one person, Allison Smith, supposed to reach them all? However, I think it's a great place to be when you're overwhelmed, because it means in our weakness, Jesus' strength shines and he is glorified. Because in our weaknesses, he is made glorified, right? It is his strength that we rely on to get the Great Commission done, right? And he didn't just say to do it. He knew our weakness. Jesus knows your weakness, right? He knows we're broken. And so he gives us the tools to make disciples. And that's where Acts 1:8 comes in. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's look at this contextually, right? When Jesus has said this, he was in Jerusalem. So look right where you're at. He's saying, Gateway Church, look at Spring Lake, Michigan. Look to all the people who are lost and don't know me. Look to Judea and Samaria, which is about 100 miles out. Look to Flint, Michigan, to all the people who do not know me, who haven't heard of me yet. And then look to the ends of the earth. Look to Libya, Lebanon, India, Morocco, Nepal, and more that are filled with people who are made in the image of God, and they need to have their light bulb moment. Maybe that's the Allison version of the verse. My friends in this room, the same Holy Spirit power in Acts 1:8 is not just for the book of Acts. It lives in you right now. Your communities, your workplaces are waiting to meet Jesus. The world is waiting to meet Jesus. And the most exciting part is we get to do this with Jesus. I want to share with you, I'm excited to, all of what Jesus is doing around the world and how we can get this Great Commission thing done, right? Because it's hard, and then it's done. And it all begins with simply loving Jesus, simply obeying him, and simply following Jesus. To accomplish all encountering Jesus and having their light bulb moment, we must begin by simply loving Jesus. Early on in my missionary career, it landed me to Cairo, Egypt. And I was visiting my Muslim friend's home for the very first time. We have a picture of it. I was walking up the steps, and I saw these red handprints on the wall. I was a little startled. I was like, what is going on? And so I turned to my friend. I said, what are these? And she goes, oh, Allison, last Tuesday, we killed a goat. And I'm like, ah, naturally, Tuesdays, we kill goats. Got it. And we dipped our hands in the blood, and then we put it on the wall as a sign of favor and protection and good works with their God, Allah. And I remember I looked at these handprints, and I looked to my friend, and it dawned on me, how close was she to the sacrifice of a lamb, to the blood of a sacrifice? How close was she to the gospel? But how far was she simply because yet no one had told her? I then went on to tell her about King Jesus, who in the fullness of his love for her is both the Lion of Judah and the Lamb that was slain, right? He's the Lion, he's powerful, he is victorious, he has complete authority over this world. She can put her trust in the Lion because that powerful Lion who loves his creation so much set an example of himself being the last sacrifice. That Jesus, he's the Lamb that was slain, who put his life down for the world, for her. Because of his blood, we are set free from the darkness of this world and we get to enter into the everlasting kingdom of light. And it's not about anything we do, but it's about what the Lamb did. Because of the full love of the Lamb, and all he asks is for us to accept it and be fully in love with him. My friends here in this room, we don't need the handprints of an animal. We need the blood of a lamb. For the gospel to reach all people everywhere, this is our starting point collectively, is that we need to simply love him, to know him. We cannot be too busy or tired to remember the simple hymn I used to sing as a little girl. I'm going to invite you to join with me, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells us that you can trust the love of Jesus, you can find victory in the love of Jesus, and you can fulfill the Great Commission with the love of Jesus because nothing can separate you from it. Romans 8, 38 through 39. I remember even being on runs training for the half marathon, being tired, whether it's in my personal life or on the physical run or just being in transition seasons of my life. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says this, and I relied on it. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels or demons, neither our fears of today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love that was revealed in the Lamb, our promises, right, that we just read. It conquers death. It gives us life. It conquers our fears and worries. And not even the powers of hell can separate us from it. The love of Jesus, it's so powerful, so intentional, so strong that we can stand upon it as our base as we look out to making disciples of all nations. Because we cannot make disciples if we stopped loving Jesus back. That is our first priority above all else. Because it is his overflowing love that we can simply love him, that draws us to simply obey him, right? That we do anything he's asked us to do, especially in the Great Commission to make disciples. So then we simply obey Jesus. My missionary journey took me to Springfield, Missouri, which is not the Muslim world or the Arab world, believe me. But my job took me there, and my friend Sarah taught me about obeying Jesus. Sarah, she's a Muslim girl studying at the local university. She's an international student, so her whole family is still over in the Middle East. She met Jesus for the first time and was back and forth in her faith. And it's really funny, one day I'd show up and she'd be like, I'm a Christian today. And I'm like, yes, let's talk about that, right? And then the next day she'd be like, I'm a Muslim. And I'd be like, okay, let's talk about that, okay? Let's talk about it, right? And if you ever talk to a Muslim about Jesus, if they are interested and they actually become a better Muslim first, you're on the right track. Do not give up. because they're going back to the roots of Islam in them, and they're pulling it out to like rely on what they knew because something is challenging them on the inside. And so we see a lot of Muslims come to Jesus that they actually become a greater Muslim first, then they come to Jesus because they realize that's not truth anymore. Something's challenged them. Oh, Jesus is the truth, right? The way, the truth, and the life, right? That they're going to spend forever in heaven with him. And so she was going back and forth, and the Lord pursued her in some series of visions and dreams. The Lord meets us in visions and dreams. He's meeting Muslims all over the world that way. And so she is standing in her dream on a platform like this, and she's like a pistol. She's like preaching to the people, and she knows preaching, but she's like talking to the people passionately. And these white letters pop up in her dream. And then she wakes from her dream. English is her second language, so she doesn't know this word. So she goes and wakes up her Christian roommate and says, what does this mean? And the word we have on the screen is evangelist. And her roommate looked at her, and her roommate said, Sarah, you're going to tell the masses about Jesus, right? And what's that going to take? It's going to take obedience. What is God calling Sarah and all of us to do? First of all, to be obedient, like the roommate, right, and share the gospel. And then second, to be like Sarah, who now shares the gospel with many. She actually works on a campus ministry teaching campus leaders how to share with Muslims, which is so cool. She's awesome. And she's still following Jesus. And it is through his power that he is asking all of us to just have our full obedience so he is glorified. Because God is reaching Muslim women in Springfield, Missouri. In the middle of nowhere, Missouri, where the diversity rate is this big, he is reaching Muslim women from all over the world. It is through his power and not ours. But my friends in this room, our possession of the gospel, it creates an obedience to share the gospel. And I think sometimes we tend to overcomplicate this obedience, right? My missionary friend, he always says this. He says, if you have an obedient heart and an open mouth, you can share the gospel. You don't need platform, status, popularity, or more to share the gospel. It actually doesn't matter how charismatic you are or if you can get on a mic and public speak. It actually doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. It really matters if you have obedience. Let's look at the 12 disciples. A few of them are fishermen, right? They were seen as one of the lowest levels in society. Matthew was a tax collector. He was arguably the most hated man in society, right? Because he was stealing money from people. Judas was a traitor who literally betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Paul, who is the catalytic missionary in the New Testament, was Saul before he became Paul, and he was murdering Christians. And yet, God used them for his glory. God uses our brokenness and our mess, and he entrusts us with the gospel to be used through us so people can encounter him. But God just needed their simple obedience. You just need simple obedience. With your heart and your mouth, you can share the gospel right where you're at with the talents and abilities that Jesus has given you and the spheres of influence that he has given you, your friends, your family members, your coworkers, people waiting to meet Jesus. It's not about how perfect you are. It's actually just about how obedient you are. And as followers of Jesus, we are disciples of Jesus, right? Disciples who make disciples. In the Great Commission, in making disciples, it's not a separate category in our faith. It's actually ingrained in every single thing that we do. Because our obedience is not just subjected to, oh, when I go on a missions trip, that's when I'm going to share the gospel. On Tuesdays, I go on my prayer walk, I pray for Jesus to have me encounter people, and that's when I'm going to share the gospel. And hear me on this, a missionary is not telling you to not go on mission trips. I promise. Those are amazing things. And those are things we need to do. But the Great Commission also is when you see your coworker who confides in you that they're struggling with depression, you open your mouth and share the gospel. You tell them a testimony of how God released you from the chains of depression and anxiety and he healed you. When you see your brother who is struggling to find a job, you open your mouth and you share the gospel. You talk about a time how being overwhelmed, you needed provision so greatly, scarcity seems so great, but the Lord came in and provided. And then when you see Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, Morocco, Lebanon, Libya, and more who are filled with people who do not have one believer in their neighborhood, you go, you open your mouth, and you share the gospel. That is the Great Commission. We are all part of this. My friends, your workplaces, communities, grocery stores, countries, and more are filled with people waiting to have their light bulb moment, waiting to meet Jesus. And you never know where God's going to lead them. What if in your workplace is the next Paul that's going to go to India, that's going to bring India to Jesus, right? You never know. God is putting all the pieces together, right? He is sovereign. He knows all. And he is going to use us in this great commission. As we fall in love with Jesus, we become eager to share, right? By simply obeying him with the task in front of us. And as we're obedient to sharing the gospel, we are driven to follow Jesus no matter where he leads us and no matter the cost. We simply follow Jesus. How many of you in this room have seen Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, the movie, or read the book by C.S. Lewis? I recommend it. It's one of my favorites if you haven't. If you're not familiar with the story, it's four siblings who go through a magical wardrobe and enter into the land of Narnia. I can't describe to you how many times I was in a closet waiting for it to be Narnia and for like Mr. Tumnus to be on the other side, and I was going to go into Narnia an embarrassingly amount. It never happened. That's fine. But these siblings fulfill an old prophecy. They find themselves adventuring to save Narnia from the evil white witch. The king lion Aslan gives his life to save one of the children. He later rises from the dead, vanquishes the white witch, saving Narnia from the darkness, and enters it into the kingdom of light. Does that sound familiar? It's reflective of the gospel. I remember as a little girl, my second grade teacher, she was reading this book aloud to us, and there's a quote in here that stuck with me even then and to this day. And the children are about to meet King Aslan for the very first time. Mr. Beaver is a character in the book. He kind of like brings them up to speed. He journeys with them through Narnia, kind of telling them the what's what, you know? And Mr. Beaver says this. He says, "Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He is the king, I tell you." As we take the gospel and follow Jesus to wherever he leads you to go, to your workplace, to Lebanon, or to Narnia, I can promise you one thing. It won't be safe. This world is full of mess and chaos and darkness that's literally fighting against the truth and the light of the gospel. However, you are following the king of the world, the one who already holds the victory, because he is good and he is worth it. Safe isn't the goal. Being in the will of Jesus in the Great Commission is the goal. When Jesus describes what it'll be like to follow him, he does say it's as difficult, right? We see that in the New Testament. Those who tries to save his life is actually going to lose it, but those who loses his life will actually save it. And he says it's going to be hard. We're going to be seen as weird in the eyes of the world. But again, he asks us simply to lose our life, to simply die and follow him. And we talk about losing our lives, especially in missions. You can think of some of the hardest places in the world, right? There is a cost that we've had to count saying, would I be okay physically losing my life for the Lord? The answer is yes, right? I know where I'm going. However, I think the physical death is hard, sure, don't get me wrong. But I think there's much more difficult death than the physical one. It's your daily death. Dying to the things that crucify you daily. When I was in Egypt, I was early on, so I knew no words in Arabic. I knew left, right, shawarma, which is a joke if you know Arabic, because shawarma is shawarma in every language. There's no translation, but I knew not a lot of Arabic. And I was walking home from language school one day. I was tired, and I decided to get a shawarma sandwich on my way home, because that's the best part of living in the Middle East. The food's amazing. So I was getting that for dinner, walking home, and I see this Muslim girl around my age. I knew she was Muslim because she was wearing a hijab, and she was sitting on some steps just like this over here, eating her sandwich. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, "Allison, go tell her about me. This is your moment. Great commission," right? And I walked over kind of near her, and I looked at her. I looked at the sandwich, and I looked at the road ahead. And I thought, what if she doesn't understand me? I don't know a lot of Arabic. What if I confuse her? What if I try and then she rejects me? That would be an awful feeling, and that'd be really embarrassing. Worse, what if she rejects me and someone on the street sees it happen? And I remember I looked at her, and I looked ahead, and I went home that night. I ate my sandwich, went to bed, woke up ready for the missionary day, right? had my devotional time with Jesus. And can I just say, I'm thankful for a God who convicts us to make us better, to make us more like him, right? I'm thankful of God who calls me out. And the Holy Spirit said this. The Lord said this. He said, Allison, wasn't she worthy of me? I died for her. Wasn't she worthy looking silly for? Wasn't she worthy of obedience? Wasn't she worthy of you simply following and trusting me? And I remember I was there every day. I actually walked past that stoop every single day. I never saw her again. And I was just recently in Egypt, and I went back to that stoop and prayed over it, and I didn't see her. But you know what? I know that God uses our weakness for his glory. So I'm reaching that I'm praying that someone does reach her. But telling this woman about Jesus was not going to cost me my life by any means. However, it was going to cost me the things that to this day crucify me daily. My perfectionism, my pride, and what other people think about me. Who or what opportunities for the kingdom have we passed by simply because we let the darkness and lies of this world take a hold of our mind and convince us that our comfort is better? She didn't have access to the gospel. What is it, right? Simply have an open heart, be obedient, open my mouth, and share the gospel. She is worthy. My 2 minutes of being uncomfortable and looking silly is not worth her being in hell forever. It is worth her being with Jesus forever in eternity, in heaven, right? The best place to be is in the love and obedience of Jesus, to be right in the places he has for you, to be him moving through you, sharing how Jesus transformed you, giving people their light bulb moment. The gospel or the Bible says, right? Well, how is the enemy defeated? By two things, the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony. God is using you in your life. God is doing miraculous things in your life. You are going through hardships in your life that you will come out of because his mercies are new every morning. And those are incredible testimonies that will lead people to Jesus. We need to be around kitchen tables, coffee tables. We need to be in our workplaces. We need to be in the simple moments of life, the car rides, sharing about Jesus and sharing how he's transformed you and sharing how he carries you every single day. My missionary journey, as of 3 months ago, was leading me back to the Middle East, to a place where there's a lot of tension and warfare right now. I was actually really excited about it, because in moments of tension and warfare, we're actually seeing more Muslims come to Jesus than ever, because when people are in desperation, they need truth. They're going back to what they know of their religion, and it's not working anymore. And so we're seeing Muslims have visions and dreams of the Lord. So we need people like you to go over to interpret those dreams, right? To share them about Jesus. But we're seeing more Muslims coming to Jesus than ever. We're seeing churches planted. Jesus is moving. And I was so pumped to be a part of that. I'm going to invite the worship team up. However, over the last couple months, Jesus, yet again, like he does for all of us, he simply asked me to fully love him, fully obey him, and fully follow him. When I was 22 years old, fresh out of college, I worked at the automotive industry. I worked at Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan, as a project manager. Again, I love an Excel spreadsheet. I love a meeting. You know how people are like, oh, I don't like meetings. I love meetings. Like, I'll be in an 8-hour meeting. It's my favorite. and I got to make people's vision and goals come to life with tangible solutions. And prior to that, when I started my job, I spent 6 weeks in Egypt, and I met my first Muslim friend. I got to have the look of the first light bulb moment, and I was addicted. And I remember I went back to Ford, and there were many days, not to be traumatic, but there'd be many days where I would drive home crying, because I didn't care how the car got built. I didn't see really my place in it even. But what I cared about is 42% of the world yet still has access to the gospel, and they simply need people with gospel knowledge to go over and tell them. And I would pray this out to the Lord, and every prayer or tear-filled prayer, Jesus had asked me to stay and look right around me in Dearborn, Michigan, actually with the place with the highest concentration of Muslims in America. Hanan was an intern at the company placed on my team. She was bright, funny, and Muslim, and we had many conversations about religion, about God, and faith, right, on the drives to lunch and back and on the hallways, and we would talk about it. I would ask her every question under the sun about Islam. She would ask me about Christianity. And we had so many conversations about Jesus. And I got to tell her about who Jesus was to me. She got to encounter Jesus for the very first time. And I remember after one of those days, Jesus spoke to me in the car. I was probably crying again. And he said, Allison, I am preparing you. Just simply be obedient and share about me. The point of sharing this is that wherever the Lord leads us, some of us, and I hope we think about going over. People need access to Jesus. It is not okay that 42% of the world doesn't have access to the gospel. People need to go to simply share. But the Lord uses you every single day on your journey with him. Whether we're overseas, you're here, or you're in Dearborn, Michigan, rely on the Lord. He will use you to share the gospel. So after looking back at 22-year-old Allison, and now as a 30-year-old, I was heading to the Middle East. And then the Lord again asked me to trust him. Assemblies of God World Missions has a brand new goal. In the next few years, we want to rise up 4,000 new missionaries. That's a lot. That's tripling our force right now, tripling our missionary number, with a common goal of reaching those without gospel access. My friends in this room, in our lifetime, we could see the unreached reached. We could. If we send enough missionaries and we work with partner organizations, we could see the unreached reached. We could see people have their light bulb moment. And we'll be in heaven one day, and you'll see, because it's promised. It's not an if, it's when. Every tribe, nation, and tongue will meet Jesus, and we'll be singing glory, glory forever. We'll look around and get to say, I was a part of that. I got to be a part of that great commission. I am thankful for her God who trusted me in my brokenness and in my mess. So my the new missionary assignment is I'm going to take that vision and goal, just like at four, develop systems and strategies to make it happen. So instead of being one, I get to send thousands of new missionaries to all over the world for people to have their light bulb moment, my dream role. But I look back as a testimony. I look back to what Jesus was preparing 22-year-old Allison for, right? Simply be obedient, stay where I was at, open my mouth, and share the gospel. And so I want to invite you into a time of reflection and just simply asking the Lord. My challenge is for you this morning, as we look to the Great Commission as disciple makers, what is your simple yes to Jesus? Are you willing to say, I'm going to go overseas? Pastor Ben talked about in first service, we have people from all ages. It's not just out of college or 30-year-olds. I've been on teams with people where there's 56-year-olds going overseas and giving their life. The Strongs, they left late in life. They left their grandchildren to go overseas, right? Are we in the Great Commission? What is your simple yes to Jesus? To go overseas? What is your right now yes to Jesus? Who in your workplace, in your community, that you can share the gospel with, that you can share your testimony with? Will you go to your workplace? Will you go to your family? Will you go to India? Are you willing to complete this task, however and wherever Jesus asks you? Because we are all a part of this. Take a moment and just simply ask Jesus, Lord, where are you going to lead me, as the worship team plays?
Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to continue on with worship and respond. And the song we're singing is a song that is familiar with us called Send Me. And the chorus goes, if I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. And Allison said in her first point that it is about simply loving Jesus. And, you know, I was trying to think, man, what does it mean to be an evangelist, right? That story of her friend is just so powerful. And for me, it's, you know, imagine I go out with some friends and my wife Kyle stays home and, you know, we have a good time and end up coming home and the next day, you know, Kyle and I are out and about and we see those same friends and those friends look at me and they go, oh, I didn't know you were married, right? My wife would be really confused. Like, you were out with these people are your friends, and they had no clue that you had a relationship with me. Like, what were you guys talking about? What were you guys doing? How am I not so much a part of your life that you know, just don't talk about me all the time, and all the little things and all the random things? And she would probably wonder, man, how valuable am I really to you in your relationship? And I think if you're wondering, what does it look like to be an evangelist? What does it look like to tell other people about Jesus? What does this first yes of obedience to be an evangelist with your friends or your family or your coworkers looks like? It just means having such a great relationship with Jesus that your life reflects how much you love him and the things that you say and the ways that you talk about him, or when things are brought up and you turn to prayer instead of anger or resentment or hurt. That is how we show other people. And, you know, like Allison said, you know, so many of us are so quick to say that we would die for Jesus, but I think it's way harder to say that we'll live for him. And you know, for some of us, that might make us evangelists with our friends. For other people like Allison or Reagan and Josiah, or I see Ed and Beth here as well. You know, for other people, it means going somewhere else. And it's costly. But it starts by that simple act of obedience, of just saying, Lord, whatever you want from me, I'll do it. And that's what this song is about. So will you just close your eyes? And if you feel comfortable, you can lift your hands as an act of surrender, a posture of openness to receive whatever he has for you. And let's just open up our hearts this morning as we continue on with worship and respond to Allison's powerful message. Lord, just search us. Yes, Lord.
We need people like you who are going to say yes to go to the places where Jesus is not known, to open your mouth, have an open heart, and share the gospel. We need people like you who are going to go to have a yes to go to your workplaces and your communities, to where Jesus is not known, to open your mouth, have an obedient heart, and share the gospel. When we give our complete yes to Jesus by simply loving, obeying, and following him, I promise you, the world will meet Jesus. I'm praying for each of you as these encounters with Jesus, that you'll take it with you as you go throughout your week. But I want to pray this over you for my favorite hymn, In Christ Alone. It says this, it's the last stanza. There's no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck you from his hand. Until he returns or calls us home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Thanks, Allison. A couple years ago, the Lord put it on my heart as your pastor that not only would we be a giving church, that would be generous and support missionaries, and I see a day where we'll be supporting 200 missionaries. If the Assemblies of God is believing for three times what or double our missionaries, we got to double what we're giving. And so that aligns. But I also felt like the Lord was saying that we would be a sending church as well. And that's hard. My good friend Aaron Halavin said, Ben, when you send people, you're sending your best people. It's the best people that say yes to actually go. And of course, we're all called to say yes in our day-to-day. But I just want to speak that as Allison, you know, has shared and, you know, given us this challenge, I just believe that the Lord is speaking. And I mentioned at first service that it's not just young people like Allison or, you know, just fresh out of college or even going to college. We were just in Morocco with Reagan and Josiah on a Live Dead team. And that's, Allison is working with Live Dead at the highest level in Springfield and in recruiting. But my daughter and her husband, they, on their team, it's not just young people. It's middle-aged people, and there are retired people. There are people that left their careers and literally wrapped up shop and are now serving full-time. And the Lord, when he speaks, he will provide. And I believe that God is, you know, putting some of those seeds out. And we want your first step could be to have a conversation with Allison right now in just a moment, or on our missions board. We've been recently wrestling with the question, how, if someone was wanting to say yes, what's their first step? And we asked Reagan and Josiah when we were in Morocco, and we will be sharing with the missions board and then sharing with the church, but there's a funnel that we can move you to quickly and that is established that will help you to take those first steps to move in that direction. And not that we want to lose you, but we want to send you and believe that God would work in and through your life. Man, could we be a part of reaching that goal of 4,000 missionaries, new missionaries? Lord, let it be. Let it be. Lord, I just pray that as you are challenging us, that you would just equip us and help us. Lord, you promised to be with us no matter what. And Lord, I know it sounds hard. It sounds impossible. But like Hudson Taylor said, it's going to be impossible. It's going to be difficult. And then it's done. And Lord, when my days are done, when our days are done, I want to stand before you and have done everything that I could have done to make a difference. Lord, challenge my heart and our hearts. Lord, help us to continue to be generous in giving, but also speak to us about going. Lord, we thank you for this. And Lord, now I just pray that you, as many of us, will meet Allison in the lobby. In fact, Allison, if you could slip out so we don't miss anybody. Lord, I pray that you just bless her. But Lord, bless our comings and goings. And Lord, literally, when we leave these, when we walk out these doors, we're entering a mission field in our backyard. Help us to make a difference. We thank you for these things. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for sticking with us. God bless you. Go in the grace of God today.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.